What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Powhatan on Friday and another crazy weekend. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room. And before I get into the news, I just saw this across the Fox News feed, and it's so bizarre, I have to share it with you. The post office is now issuing scratch-and-sniff postage stamps. Apparently, you stick them on a letter, and then you scratch them, and there you get these aromas of things like chocolate and watermelon, and I don't know. That just strikes me as rather gratuitous and bizarre. Borderline decadent, I guess, is a good word for it. Okay, so getting into the serious news here, we are still seeing the global outrage in response to the Bloody Monday massacre down in Gaza. And more Israelis are speaking out about it and saying, where is the outrage? This is just so far beyond the excuse of self-defense that it's making Israel look bad, obviously. It's making the world's Jewish people look bad by extension, because Israel likes to claim they represent all of the Jews in the world. And here in the United States, American Jews, they're pulling back. They don't want to be tarnished by this at all. And so we're seeing more and more articles written by Israelis saying, what is going on here? Why the indifference here? One article said that, at least to some people, apparently killing Palestinians is less important than killing mosquitoes. But people are now really speaking out. The corporate media, of course, is trying to do its job of providing cover, blaming the victims, and say, you know, they deserved it. They were throwing rocks. They were being unruly on their side of the fence. Again, the media is using language that makes it look like that there was a threat on both sides, that there was a clash on both sides. It wasn't. It was Israeli snipers in fortified positions 100 meters from the fence just shooting at people. And we're starting to get detailed numbers of the injured. Apparently, 500 of the Palestinians were actually shot in the head. So that's an intended kill shot right there. Now, the European Union is calling on Israel to reinstate the visa for the head of Human Rights Watch office in Gaza, Omar Shakir. His visa was revoked after Israel accused him of supporting the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. But the EU notes that if the visa is not reinstated, Israel would join a very short list of countries which have barred Human Rights Watch staff. And that's another stigma that Israel will probably ignore. Now, the United States is considering punitive steps against Palestinian diplomats in response to the threat to take Israel to the International Criminal Court in The Hague. And the U.S. is out there saying that this is a bad move. The U.S. continues to believe that direct negotiations between the two parties are the only way to achieve a comprehensive and lasting peace. Involving the ICC does not get us closer to peace. Well, neither does gunning down innocent protesters. Israel doesn't want peace. They want the land. And once again, the U.S. government has shown itself to be Israel's sock puppet. Israel does not want to be taken to the ICC, so they sick the United States on the Palestinian diplomats. Israel has upped the ante, so to speak. They launched a major attack into Gaza City involving Israeli warplanes and artillery. One Gaza resident, Mohammed Abu Assis, on Twitter was saying Israeli aircraft are bombing several locations in Gaza. Also, the rockets were targeted mainly at the Gaza seaport. He went on to say, continuous explosions west of Gaza City shake the sky in flames in different areas, a very heavy flight of Israeli warplanes. Israel basically shelled central Gaza, and their claim here is that they did all of this in response to some Palestinian kids sneaking through the fence and setting fire to an army tent, and then sneaking back. Now, that last part, I'm very dubious. I mean, makes it sound like the IDF just aren't paying attention. You know, they got a burning tent here. Kids are running away. Nothing happens to them. And the reason I think that this may have been a false flag, this burning of the army tent, is because when the Israeli Air Force hit the seaport, they hit the fishing seaport, and they were targeting the boats, and they hit a boat that's getting ready to sail out to meet the aid flotilla, trying to get through the blockade of Gaza imposed by Israel. And the boat was set on fire by the Israeli attack, and it was due to sail to meet the flotilla on its way to Gaza. Now, there's been a number of these aid flotillas that have attempted to breach the Israeli naval blockade in Gaza in recent years. All they carry is food, medicine, coloring books for kids. Nothing that can be construed as a weapon, but Israel always meets them and turns them back. The most notorious such incident happened in 2010 when Israeli commandos killed 9 activists on board the ship Mavi Marmara. Now, we're going to do a shout-out to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Little bit of a diplomatic whoopsie. Apparently, while celebrating at the new U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, the U.S. Ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, was photographed posing with a picture of Jerusalem in which a Jewish temple stands in place of Al-Aqsa Mosque. And this photo, of course, made all the Israeli media, a very symbolic way of saying the U.S. backs our Israel's building of the third temple. Friedman may not have known that the photo had been altered. It was just handed to him and he posed for the photo. And the U.S. Embassy has demanded an apology for allowing one of their staff to present this controversial image to the ambassador. The U.S. policy is absolutely clear. We support the status quo on the Haram al-Sharif Temple Mount, the statement concluded. But, you know, Israel's just trying to get all these symbols out there that the U.S. blesses their taking over the Temple Mount, even though that's not official U.S. policy, at least not yet. The Israeli occupation forces have issued more demolition orders for the residential and agriculture areas in Yada, south of Hebron, including a medical clinic belonging to the Palestinian Ministry of Health. And the usual excuse is that all of these buildings were built without an Israeli permit. Well, some of the buildings actually date back before Israel even existed. And Israel has a habit of just not issuing building permits in the West Bank. Now, the area is inhabited by a group of Palestinian farmers who depend on agriculture and sheep herding. The area is constantly under attack by Jewish settlers, and there have been numerous attempts to seize their land, and this looks like the start of another one. But again, Israel may have overreached itself because 76 members of Congress have co-signed a letter to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu urging him to end the demolitions and evictions of Palestinians in the West Bank. And according to J Street, the letter notes that the destruction and displacement of these communities pose a serious threat to the human rights of Palestinians, to the prospects for a two-state solution, and to Israel's future as a Jewish and democratic state. Well, Israel doesn't want a two-state solution. They want it all. They've made that very clear from the beginning. If you look at the maps of Israel and Palestine since Israel's founding, it's Israel constantly grabbing more and more and more land. It's Israel that's trying to wipe Palestine off the map. Meanwhile, over in France, there are demands to cancel the France-Israel season, which is a series of hundreds of cultural events backed by both governments that is supposed to start next month. And the French people are out there saying, no, we don't want this. They're very angry about what happened. More than 10,000 people have signed a petition urging President Macron to cancel the France-Israel season altogether. So Israel has really created a public relations nightmare for itself. Apparently, Brazilian music legend Gilberto Gil is pulling the plug on a planned performance in Tel Aviv, and Palestinians are applauding that. And apparently dozens of artists are declaring their support for the cultural boycott of Israel following the latest Israeli mass killings of civilians in the occupied Gaza Strip. They include bands such as Portishead, Wolf Alice, and Slaves. This is not going to go away anytime soon. Netanyahu has now ordered the security cabinet to meet at an underground bunker until further notice for security purposes, the order given amid increasing tensions with Iran, and also to make it more difficult for surveillance to get in there and find out what they're talking about. But who's ramping up the tensions in the region? The U.S. and Israel. An article over in Russia Today sums it up rather beautifully. Iran is in the crosshairs as the empire enters its mad dog days. And that does seem to be what's happening with the U.S. government. Gone is any pretense at diplomacy or negotiation. It's all bluster and bullying and threats and arm twisting. Another article from news@antiwar.com. Trump's plan B with Iran basically is setting the stage for war. You've got Mike Pompeo out there with this list of 12 very broad demands that Iran is never going to agree to. And so basically they're going to say, well, yeah, then we have to go to war. Iran won't do what we tell it to do. That's the new justification for going to war with a country. Now, Mike Pompeo is out there claiming that Iran is carrying out assassination operations in Europe. And he made that statement at a public forum and was immediately greeted with skepticism from security experts and Iranian exiles who say they're not aware of any evidence to back up this allegation. But it's just part of the demonization of Iran preparatory to yet another war. Now, if you want to know who's doing assassinations out there, we find that out from this report in Sputnik News, where apparently the U.S. has greenlit an Israeli plan to assassinate a top Iranian general. And apparently 3 years ago, the U.S. apparently helped botch an Israeli plan to kill this general. And now Washington is saying it wishes it hadn't tipped off the Iranians. So they're going after General Qasem Soleimani, the commander of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard's overseas arm, the Quds Force. So, according to Max Blumenthal, and this is no surprise to anybody, the Israel lobby is calling the shots in Trump's rollback policy on Iran. Israel didn't like the P5 plus one deal. It got in the way of gunning for war. And so Trump has now pulled out of the P5 plus one. They're threatening economic sanctions all over Europe if they don't pull out of the Iran deal. Pompeo's out there with that list of 12 impossible to fulfill demands. That's it. That's setting the stage for the war with Iran. And this one is likely to bring us into direct conflict with the Russians. Because Russia's not going to let the globe be gobbled up right to their borders. They learned a very painful lesson in World War II when the Nazis got very close to Moscow before they got pushed back. They're not going to let that happen again. Now, one thing possibly diffusing the situation, or at least removing one item of propaganda from Israel, is Hezbollah is now starting to pull out of South Syria, and the area that they took back from the U.S.-backed jihadis is being turned over to the control of the Syrian army. And apparently the Hezbollah is now heading to the area controlled north of the province and toward the capital, Damascus. Now, Israel wants Hezbollah totally out of Syria. They want Russia totally out of Syria. They want Iran totally out of Syria. They want to go back to where Syria is unable to defend itself against all these attacks. Meanwhile, the Syrian government has announced that the capital city is fully under their control. Daesh has been ousted. So Assad basically has won this. There's still mop-up operations going on, unless, of course, there is a false flag gas attack and the U.S. launches another major war, which I would say at this point is likely. ISIS has now counterattacked near Palmyra, and it's their biggest attack in the past few months. They've attacked positions of the Syrian Arab army, near the T3 pumping station. They're trying to get back in control of that oil infrastructure because they use that oil to raise money for their operation. These are probably the biggest ISIS attacks on government positions since the formal defeat of ISIS in the Euphrates Valley. But the ISIS units in the Homs, Deir Azor Desert are still a notable security threat. But it is, it's mop-up operations. Now, Israel, once again showing to the world the meaning of chutzpah, has come on out and warned Damascus not to use air defenses against Israeli jets flying inside Syria. I guess Israel is getting very bold. Lebanon is complaining to the United Nations that Israel flies into their country and throws pot shots at Syria from their territory. So now apparently Israel is planning to actually invade Syria's airspace, and they're warning Damascus, don't shoot back at us. If you shoot back at us, you know, we're going to destroy your defenses. And Israel said all batteries that fire on Israeli aircraft will be destroyed. All batteries that do not fire on us will not be destroyed, saying this is a permanent policy. That is a lot of chutzpah. I mean, Israel is committing acts of war against Syria right now. And Syria has every right to defend itself from these acts of war. When you take military hardware into somebody else's country without permission, technically that's an act of war. Now, I want to reiterate one more time that when clearing out some of these militant strongholds, they're finding American weapons, Israeli weapons, British weapons, NATO weapons. And now they found a warehouse full of the equipment associated with chemical weapons attacks. So we know the materials are inside Syria to launch a chemical weapon attack and try and blame it on Assad. But again, look for what should be there and isn't. And what isn't there is a reason for Assad to do something that's stupid. He's already winning the war. ISIS is collapsing. The militants are being driven on out. He has no reason to use a chemical weapon, especially knowing that that would be the one thing that would give the U.S. an excuse to come on back in and re-escalate the war. Over in Great Britain, we're finally starting to hear from the Skripals, and Yulia Skripal gave an interview, and the Russian embassy is a little concerned. First of all, there's looks like there's a tracheotomy scar on her neck. But Moscow is still concerned that even though she's given this interview, the language she used in the interview suggested she had been primed and coached and told what to say. The British government is still not allowing anybody from the Russian embassy or the Skripal family to have direct contact with Yulia Skripal. And the embassy, needless to say, is very, very concerned about that. Getting on back to Palestine, they've officially joined the Chemical Weapons Convention, and the state of Palestine, they're out there acting like a government. Hamas is acting like a government. They're joining all these international organizations, and that's a very, very good thing. Up in Afghanistan, the Afghan people are questioning the value of the United States forces in the fight against the Taliban. And the Pentagon watchdog is admitting, well, there's been a lack of progress. Now, remember, Afghanistan is known as the graveyard where empires go to die. Britain certainly learned that. The Soviet Union learned that. Now the U.S. is learning that. But those U.S. forces in Afghanistan are less concerned about going after the Taliban and more concerned about guarding all those opium fields and that pipeline right of way. That may have something to do with it. We have to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back after these few words from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
Really, aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And turning toward Korea, as the summit approaches, we hope, North Korean media is returning back to the angry and confrontational tone. Boy, can you just think back a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, it looked like Korea was on their way to reunification. Everything was going to work on out. There was going to be peace in the land. And then you get John Bolton out there screaming at North Korea. You get the military exercises, the nuclear bombers flying along the border. The one thing North Korea said, don't do, or this is all off. And now we're back to square one. We're back to where the war hawks want us, getting ready to invade North Korea. And considering how badly we did in the original Korean War, or the start of, it's still technically ongoing, Korean War, that's really not a good idea. The U.S. doesn't really do very well in jungle environments, such as Vietnam. They're really good in desert territory, where they can see the enemy. They don't do well in jungle action. And the forecasts are that a war on the North Korean peninsula could cost a 500,000 lives. So whether or not the summit is going to happen or not is up in the air. The latest word out of Washington, D.C. is that Trump may just pull on out unless there's a good deal on the table. In other words, they've gone back to this idea of saying, you give us everything we want first, then we'll talk and see what we're going to do for you. And Mike Pompeo was out there saying that a bad deal is not an option for the United States. He's out there saying the American people are counting on us to get this right. No, we are not. I think what most Americans are counting on the government to do is to stop mucking about in other people's countries and start fixing all the problems with this one. Because this country does have problems. Anybody with eyes can see it. And more foreign wars is not going to fix this place. Now, Trump has hurled yet another insult at China. They have uninvited China from the RIMPAC exercise, which happens here around Hawaii every 2 years. It's going to be coming up here this summer. And that's where all these different countries from around the Pacific Rim come together and they have joint military exercises. And China has usually been a participant and a very present one. And Trump has now said, nope, you're not invited to the party. Now, that is going to be seen as a hideous insult by Xi Jinping. But again, it's just reinforcing this image of the U.S. government to the rest of the world as just being this bully. That there's no way to work with the United States anymore. It's do as you're told or else. Down in Venezuela, Maduro is rejecting Trump's sanctions. And, of course, we reported yesterday they kicked out the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador, for supposedly conspiring to bring down the government, which the U.S. has been trying to do going all the way back to Hugo Chavez. And they actually succeeded with Chavez. He got booted out of power for a grand total of 8 days. Then there was a counter coup and a popular uprising that put him back in. So we keep hearing this expression about restoring democracy to Venezuela. Well, they just had elections. Maduro won. The U.S. is angry that the guy they backed, the opposition, lost, and rather badly. And what they mean when they say we're going to restore democracy means they're going to go on in, take out the existing government, and put in a puppet. Like they did in Iran in 1953, like they did in Chile in 1973, and on and on and on and on. Some 50 of these attempts since the end of World War II, succeeding about half the time. I have for a long while been talking about the decline in American manufacturing. In between the media snippets about how the economy is recovering and everything's fine, and all you have to do is look at the stock market to see that, we can see with our own eyes all these shuttered factories just corroding, rusting away. And this is going to have an impact on America's ability to fight a war against a peer like Russia or China. You have to go back to the history of World War II and realize that when the U.S. got into the war, when it really started to crank up after Pearl Harbor, how they got on a war footing is they took the existing manufacturing companies and said, you need to retool a little bit so that instead of pickup trucks, you can make army jeeps. Or instead of passenger planes, you can make warplanes. Or instead of thermos bottles, you can make artillery shells. They had to have factories that could be quickly and easily converted to war materiel. We don't have those. And so, not too surprisingly, we're seeing this article out of Defense News. The United States is running out of bombs, and it may be a struggle to make more. And this is coming on top of concerns that right now a lot of our military supplies come from foreign sources, which would be cut off in the event of a major war. So, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
Finishing up with China, do you remember back in 2016 and 2017, there were accusations that those evil Cubans were using a sonic weapon on our diplomatic staff? And nothing was ever proved, but it was basically part of the run-up to the souring of relations with Cuba, which had been one of the few things the Obama administration did that I agreed with. And now they're trying to make the same claim about China, that U.S. embassies in China are being attacked with a sonic weapon, and one of their workers has suffered brain damage. He's being brought home for assessment and so forth and so on. So, again, they're recycling the same propaganda over and over. Turning to the domestic political scene here, James Comey is out there on the warpath against Donald Trump. And he was responding to Trump's recent tweets about how there may be prosecutions coming following the Inspector General report. And Comey basically came out and tweeted, "Our country is led by those who will lie about anything." And Comey attempted to justify the FBI's use of a spy inside the Trump campaign, which he refers to as a confidential human source. because spy has such a negative connotation on it. And according to Comey, human sources are tightly regulated and essential to protecting the country. Protecting the country from what? A political campaign? This is totally unjustified. But I'm beginning to smell panic inside the Beltway. And I'm hearing unconfirmed reports that more and more officials are approaching the Justice Department to make a deal before it all breaks loose. Now, Devin Nunes appeared on Maria Bartiromo's program and blasted the FBI for putting a spy into the Trump campaign and trying to entrap them into collusion. There was no collusion going on. The FBI was trying to basically manufacture it out of thin air. And the House Intelligence Chairman said this is definitely a red line. And if it was proven that the spy paid Trump associates to implant himself in the campaign, this is way over the line. It is over the line. When it happened to Carter, it was over the line. When Nixon did it to the Democrats, it was over the line. This is over the line. It's time for some resignations or some firings or some jail sentences. Knowing Washington, D.C., even if these people are found guilty, they'll be sentenced to stand in the corner for an hour and not think about polar bears or some other wrist slap like that. Now, Michael Caputo has come on out. Apparently, his lawyer cleared him to say a few more things and said there was a second campaign spy inside the Trump campaign from the National Security Agency. And apparently, this source from the NSA offered to turn over copies of all of Hillary's emails to the campaign. Caputo rejected the offer because that was likely a setup to say the Trump campaign illegally obtained the emails. So he made the right call on that one. But yeah, the deep, boy, these guys play dirty, don't they? Now, remember, the NSA officially offered the emails to James Comey when he was still head of the FBI. That would have been a legal release of the information in an ongoing investigation. Comey turned them down, wasn't interested, didn't want to see it. Now, Caputo, when he was dealing with this NSA spy, he went and reported this inappropriate contact to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees and the Mueller team. And nobody followed up. Caputo is saying the Mueller team didn't seem to care about the alleged informants in the Trump campaign. So, Mueller has an assistant, Andrew Weissman. They call him the Pit Bull. And it turns out he's got a very dark past. He was previously busted for withholding evidence in a previous case. So this is a lawyer who is not in there for justice and finding out the truth. This is a hatchet man to go on in and get somebody convicted, even if they're innocent. The perfect man to be on Mueller's team. So anyway, getting on down here. Strange, no phone calls yet. And of course, the corporate media is still on their anti-Trump crusade. The corporate media hates Donald Trump. The president hates them back on Twitter. And it's time to start evaluating just how all this partisanship and rancor has distorted the corporate media to the point where most people don't trust it anymore. It's seen as biased, unreliable, propagandistic. And their audience numbers, viewership numbers, readership numbers are all showing it. People are turning away from the corporate media because they want to go someplace where they can just see the facts presented and decide for themselves, not just have a lot of rhetoric thrown at them. Now, in the next week or so, we're probably going to see dueling polls here because Reuters just had a poll and Republicans have taken the lead looking into the midterm elections this November. And the Democrats promptly came on out with another poll saying, no, 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 we're still 2 points ahead. Over at the White House, Trump has ordered a house cleaning to try and stop the leaks. The place leaks worse than a colander. And it looks like there are just going to be a lot of firings. They don't know who the leak is. They're just going to start replacing staff en masse. So apparently Trump has ordered Chief of Staff John Kelly to initiate the culling. And that's hoping that Kelly himself isn't the leak. But it is a very disloyal thing to do, to be entrusted into the White House, into a position like that, and then start peddling information all over in exchange for, what, free drinks, women, drugs, kids, who knows what's going on out there. But we are seeing the corporate media starting to backpedal on Russiagate. It's starting to sink on in that there is no there there. And we're getting this chorus from the media saying it's not the fault of the FBI that the investigation has dragged on with nothing to show for it. It's not the fault of Mueller either. It's not the fault of the corporate media, even though all they've done for the last 2 years is scream about Russia. You know, it's just how the system works. If anything, the inquiry should have been better funded and had more authority. But overall, they're starting to pull on back and distance themselves, because when the Mueller investigation, as it has already done, comes up empty, the corporate media is going to look rather silly for having been out there for 2 years screaming, yes, any day now, Mueller's going to find something. We're going to impeach that guy at the White House. We're going to get rid of President Orange. And now they're starting to basically make excuses for why nothing happened. That's just the way the system works. Just the way the system works. You know, there were grounds to suspect Trump-Russia collusion. You want to look at collusion? Look at the Uranium One deal. Corporate media doesn't talk about that, do they? That's another reason why people don't trust the corporate media any longer. We know there are important stories out there that corporate media will not touch. GMO safety, vaccine safety, all kinds of things like that. Now, the other day, we were having a little bit of fun poking at Nancy Pelosi for trying to defend the MS-13 gang from Donald Trump's remarks calling them animals. And if you read the history of some of their crimes, you can see that the appellation actually fits. But the liberals have gone crazy saying it's racist, it's insensitive, it's not inclusive, blah, 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 blah. And now the Southern Poverty Law Center has waded into the debate, slamming Donald Trump's MS-13 remarks, saying it's unacceptable to use the racist and dehumanizing language. Well, animal isn't racist. It doesn't point in any particular direction. And MS-13 dehumanizes themselves. I think they're trying to protect MS-13 because that is the growing and very visible face of the open borders policy. And just like in countries in Europe where when they report rapes, they don't report the ethnicity of the perpetrator anymore, we're starting to see this effort here to sort of gloss over MS-13 because we've got to keep those borders open. We've got to keep those illegals coming on in. That's got to keep the globalization machine going. And yes, MS-13 are very, very bad. And many of them are illegal immigrants. Others are local recruits. But it is an imported gang. They came from Central America. And they make the Crips and the Bloods look like choir boys. Okay, we're going to take a phone call now. Art from Off the Grid, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. You know, interesting, I'm sitting and listening to these interviews with Comey and Clapper and, you know, just trying to see what I can find that can maybe flip the tables on these clowns. And, well, lo and behold, we've got it. During separate interviews, both Comey and Clapper said the same thing. Said it slightly different, but they both said the same thing. That
yes,
they're, you know, because they're looking for some kind of Russian collusion, you know, between the Trump campaign and Russia and trying to, like, stack the election in favor of Trump and this, that, and the other. But then recently we have Clapper is the one that really comes to mind when he's being asked on The View about this whole spying thing. Well, I don't like really using the word spying, but we weren't necessarily spying on Trump. What we were doing was we were trying to keep tabs on what Russia was doing to protect the Trump campaign from any kind of interference on into our election system and whatever. And okay, you were trying to stop. Let me see if I get this straight now. You're trying to keep Russia in check so they don't interfere in the election process, but the only one that you were protecting was Trump. You didn't make no effort to protect the Clinton campaign, only the Trump campaign. And then we end up with hacked emails and such as that through the on the Clinton side. So in essence, what you did was you helped Trump get elected is what you did. This is how this is breaking down. It sounds almost like they helped Trump when, you know, they're trying to claim they're looking for collusion between Trump and Russia. But yet, if you were really concerned with Russia interfering in the elections, why wouldn't you have offered the same kind of protection to the Clinton campaign?
That's an excellent point. That's an absolutely good analysis.
And when I heard Clapper say this, I'm like, dude, really? Do you realize what you just said? You just basically said, we helped Trump win. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. The lies are getting thinner and thinner and thinner and easier to see through. So good catch on that one.
All right, man. Thanks. Have a great one.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, did you happen to catch the video they released of the Fort Bulova SLBM?
Yes, I did. It's posted to whatreallyhappened.com.
Impressive, ain't it? As
yes,
deadly
it is.
As they are. Not so much for the people saying, oh, they got a rust bucket. They're all rusted stuff. That was 20 years ago, you know. Since 2018, you know.
Yes.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to talk about the oil prices. Now, the what do they call it? The tar sands in Canada. That takes like energy to get to like, you know, to get oil out of the tar sands, right? Like, so.
It takes energy to get oil out of anywhere.
Is it harder though to get it out of the tar sand? I mean, they have to heat that up, I believe, or I forgot the process, but so when prices go up, like, I mean, basically, you know, their cost's going to go up, which they pass it on to the consumers, I guess, right? I mean, that's how usually it works, right?
Well, it's a little more complex than supply and demand. I mean, we're getting into the summer months, so, of course, oil prices are going up. And as a matter of fact, they've hit $5 a gallon of gas in Manhattan Island already. So a little bit of it's price gouging. But as far as the oil extraction itself, for normal oil, it's the cost of the drilling and the pumping and the energy to run those pumps. And no matter how much oil is down there, if it takes a barrel of oil's energy to get a barrel of oil to the surface, the party is over. Nobody can make a profit on that. And that's why they were trying to push this whole fracking idea, figuring that there's shallow oil located either in fracking rock or tar sands, if they could just figure out an inexpensive way to get it out. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked out very well. Fracking is not producing anywhere near the volume of gas and oil that was originally promised. And we've had all these ancillary problems like, you know, methane bubbling through streams and lakes, killing off the fish. People in some of these areas can literally set fire to their tap water now. And earthquakes. All these fracking areas are having earthquakes in places with no previous seismic history.
And I wanted to stay on Canada for a minute, Mike. Trudeau, you know, like, I don't know if you caught it, in the, what is it the Parliament in Canada? Is that what they call that, just like in Britain?
Yes.
basically?
Yes.
Did you see when, I mean, they letting the ISIS guys come back in, you know, just like in Europe. So we know they've been letting these people go fight, and then they come back into their countries. I'm wondering, Mike, how's this guy living? Who's paying his monthly universal basic income? That's what I want to know, you know?
Because obviously the Canadian people.
Because the gentleman from Canada, I forgot his name, he called in, he's like, you know, gas prices are high up here, a liter. I'm like, you know, they find money for these people, like the refugees, but they just can't seem to help out the Canadian and their U.S.
Yeah, well, we're seeing that here in the United States. The illegal immigrants are getting a better deal from the U.S. government than legal citizens. Anyway, Dustin, I got to let you go here. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Over at the American Center for Law and Justice, they are finally starting to get some of the emails between Hillary Clinton's State Department and the Clinton Foundation. And it took a lawsuit because everybody's stonewalling on this issue. But they've uncovered thousands of these emails in which Well, basically, it puts the lie to Hillary Clinton's claim that there was a firewall between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation, so that there was no pay-for-play going on. But these emails definitely prove there were favors being granted to Clinton Foundation donors, and they're still going through all of the emails. But so far, they have found, let me look for the number here, basically 30,000 emails, and it just totally debunks the claim that there was a firewall between Clinton State Department and the Clinton Foundation. So they're just now getting these documents from the Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. These are all supposed to be public records. But apparently there were just huge amounts of communication between the foundation and the State Department, Cheryl Mills, Huma Abedin, and Doug Band. And Doug Band was sort of the liaison over at the Clinton Foundation for donors looking for favors and official acts from the Hillary Clinton State Department. So there it is. And we need to really see that this gets put out there. I guarantee you the corporate media is not going to cover this. So if there's one article off of my website that you should click the URL and email to everybody you know, that's the one right there. That's the one right there. Turning to the economic news, there is still a lot of talk about the Federal Reserve hiking rates soon, but not just yet, to basically allow what they're calling an inflation overshoot. And a big question is, you know, how symmetric is the Fed's reaction function to inflationary upside? How much will the Fed allow inflation to overshoot, and how much attention are they really paying to the collapsing yield curve? Now, Bloomberg noted that a key focal point of this issue will be to further distinguish the main threshold separating the three and four like camps in the 2018 dot plot. So we're getting into some of the jargon there. But the situation, again, the economy is overstressed. It is crippled with debt, and it's all because of that private central bank, which by design creates more debt than money with which to pay that debt, to entrap and enslave the citizens of a nation and eventually the nation itself. Every nation with a private central bank that loans the currency into circulation at interest is struggling right now. We got to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.